Welcome into the BBP. This is the Bengals Beat Podcast presented by Inquirer Sports. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals beat writers, Paul Diener Jr. and Jim Ossarski, invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out the insider news as well as listening on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Just search Inquirer Bengals Beat Podcast. And as always, you can listen on our free Cincinnati Inquirer Bengals app. If you don't have the app, well, I suggest rectifying that situation immediately in the App Store. Now, if you're down with BBP, let's go. All right, welcome to the latest edition of the BBP. Paul Diener Jr., Jim Ossarski, your Bengals beat writers for the Inquirer. We are here, and you could probably just go back and play last week's BBP because it's gonna, there's going to be some similarities to it, I think. This one is a little bit more of the disastrous type.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah, it's. Yeah, you don't lose that guy on the second play of the game, and then what, three plays before the end of the game, lose your other guy in Giovanni Bernard. I mean, that's
remember last week, and I stick by it, everything can be put into a Rocky IV analogy, and I said at some point last week they were holding the towel up.
Right.
And they're yelling, "Throw the damn towel," and I said, well, at some point it's just a matter of when that final play. Yeah. Death punch is going to be thrown. I think the punch connected on Sunday.
Yeah.
And Apollo is on the ground convulsing, right?
You're making everybody cry.
Sorry. It's a movie. He lived, like, in real life. He didn't. Apollo died in
Carl
the movie.
You're right. Carl Weathers is still alive.
Is he? I don't think so.
He died?
He died, but he lived for a while after the movie. He did. This is not depressing. It was a movie. My point is, he was convulsing on the mat, and so that's where the Bengals are at right now. We don't know that they're not officially dead yet. I mean, the doctors haven't run out onto the end of the ring yet. But I think we can see the convulsions, and we probably know what has happened. Yeah. Drago has probably killed him. This is where we're at. This, and by the way, this analogy will continue through every BBP for the rest of the season. I'll tell you
Carl Weathers is still alive.
Is he?
Why did you kill Carl Weathers?
I thought he died.
No.
Are you sure?
He's 68 years old.
Well, good for Carl Weathers. Good for him. I'm glad. Thank God. I'm glad he's alive.
Look, I may have tried to incite the Netherlands and parts of Europe
to fight us. Carl Weathers.
But you just tried to kill Apollo Creed,
an American icon.
He is.
Then why didn't he show up in the Creed movie?
Because he died.
Oh, he died
Rocky
in the movie.
IV.
I'm editing that out. Couldn't he have made an appearance from heaven like he did when he was Chubbs? Like Carl Weathers did when he was Chubbs in Happy Gilmore?
There's no way 70-year-old Carl Weathers could slim down again and look like a not happening. But then don't forget, he also lost his hand to the alligator as a golfer. He died in that movie, too.
He died. Well, he was in heaven, though. But yeah. In that movie, it was okay. You could talk from there.
You cannot edit this out.
All right, we'll leave it. You're lucky.
I think BBP listeners, shout us out on Twitter. Tell us that you did not enjoy that.
No.
They can't.
Tell me you did not know that you had to yourself Google to double-check, Jim, that Carl Weathers was alive or dead. I'm telling you. I really thought there was a story about him dying. All right, well, good for him. Happy Carl Weathers is still alive.
Yes.
But in the analogy of this season, he looks dead.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. This is where we're at.
Yeah, you know, look, and Giovanni Bernard is going to kind of be the real sort of underrated guy, at least nationally. I think Cincinnati Bengals fans know what Gio means. 673 yards of total offense for Gio. I mean, and A.J. Green, you know, 964 yards. Paul, it is 43% of their total offense out the door.
Yep.
32% of their scoring offense out the door. I mean, and this is a team that's 25th in scoring anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not good. And really, you know, guys were kind of grasping at it a little bit today in the locker room, Paul, where they're like, well, A.J. went out on that second play. You know, the Bills score. We came down and scored twice. They put together two sustained drives, scored two touchdowns. It all went away in the second half, but, you know, you also had Gio Bernard for those two drives.
Right.
So.
So just to update where everything is at. So A.J. Green goes out in the second play of the game. Hamstring injury. Originally, fears were that he would be lost for the season with a tear. The Bengals got good news on that front in that it's a strained hamstring. Marvin Lewis told us on Monday that they believe that he'll be back this season. He's under the impression that he's going to be back at some point this season. It's a week-to-week thing. How many weeks? We don't know. We know for sure he's not going to be playing Sunday. You know, you can – I mean, there's only six games left. You can guess it's somewhere in that range.
Right.
You know, they're not going to rush back A.J. Green in a season where they're struggling, but
No, my thought, Paul, is if the division is still on the line for Pittsburgh,
yeah,
that's what they're going to circle. It's about a month, you know. That's a good time even for the grade three, like the tears, can heal on their own in a few months. So if it's, you know what I mean, but if they're done, if they're, you know,
there's no reason to bring him back.
Right, exactly. So
if they're eliminated, right. Unless he just wants to get his 1,000, to be with Randy Moss,
right,
on that record. I mean, that's his prerogative, I guess. He's the type of guy that if he feels like he can go, he's going to want to go.
Right.
But he's too important to rush back and possibly do something else to it. So that's where that's at. Giovanni Bernard, we mentioned ACL tear. He's out for the year. He'll get surgery and work back on his rehab to be back by the beginning of next year. You're at the point now where ACLs, you're looking at 9 months-ish.
Yeah.
You know, you'd think that Gio would be back by the beginning of next year at that point. But, you know, he's been through an ACL before.
Other leg
at UNC and bounced back from it. You know, a really surreal scene after the game in the locker room where Gio, his lockers are in between Jeremy Hill and A.J. Green to give you some sort of sense of what's going on. And he was just kind of sitting there on his stool, sort of silently looking forward, and people kept coming up and consoling him to the point that, and the injury happened so late in the game that we didn't really know that had happened.
Right. Yeah, because he took himself off the field after, like, walked off the field. So
right.
It wasn't this you know, medical display.
No, it was not at all. I mean, he got up from the play where he had the catch and jogged out into the backfield, and then there was a false start, and he went off the field. I mean, you never would have known it. And then, so he's sitting there after the game, and it looked like something awful had happened. I mean, it was clear.
Yeah.
And there's sort of a crowd surrounding A.J. Green, wondering if he's going to say anything or what's going to happen. And it was just a really surreal scene, and it's hard to paint for these, you know, the picture of how devastating it is for these guys, and these guys have to just sit there. It was just a really crazy scene to witness.
Yeah, it was. Honestly, Paul, having watched it, I thought, you know, Gio came back into the game and got a message on his phone that something personally happened that he just found out about. Because it wasn't, look, guys get hurt a lot, and usually when there's an injury, we don't see them in the locker room, just so people know. They tend to go, they tend to stay in the training room, and maybe late when they're going home, if we happen to be there, we'll see them walking out or whatever. But yeah, but Gio was in the locker room when we got there, and it was support staff, meaning non-coaches, coaches, players. It did. It looked, put it this way, Paul. You know, he's in the locker room. He's technically available to speak to us. But the way it looked, it was like, wow, we're, you know, he's dealing with it, you know, it did. It looked like that, which clearly shows, I think, to people, A, how much that affected him personally, that he was hurt like that.
Yeah, no, I mean, for sure. And I think it's more real for a guy who's been through that rehab before.
Right.
He knows how long the path back can be, how tough the path back can be,
right,
and how hard it can be even when you're healthy again.
Right.
And when you are a running back now entering your, you know, when you're looking at your fourth, fifth years in the league, those things get more serious and can hit the fast forward button on your, regression as a player.
Right.
Particularly at that position, which is why we talk often about the nervousness of giving contract extensions to running backs, just because stuff can happen and that's what happens. Latest lesson, get your money when you can.
Right.
Sign that contract when you can. Gio looks pretty smart for doing that right now. Imagine if he wouldn't have, and if he was betting on himself, and now he'd be having to come off an ACL.
Right.
Smart move on his part.
Yeah.
For sure. So that's unfortunate for the Bengals and for Gio, but that wasn't all. I mean, people just – it was – you know, Marvin Lewis kind of talked about it, and we talked about it a lot yesterday. I mean, it was one of the worst injury games that we've seen on one particular day. It was like they saved up all the all the injuries they weren't having over the last 5-6 weeks all in one game. Drake or Patrick goes down. He comes out. Sean Williams goes down. He comes out.
Clark Harris
has an injury. He went off on a cart but came back. And just to snap and then would hobble himself down the field because no one else is really that good at snapping as a long snapper, but, you know, he could long snap and then just kind of stand there. I mean, just a wild turn of events, but the bottom line is this. The bottom line is a 3-6-1. And now, if they are going to come back in this division, their game and a half back of the Steelers and Ravens, they got to do it without A.J. Green and Giovanni Bernard.
Yeah.
It ain't happening. And that's a team that already has not shown any ability to make a real move. And, you know, the natives are restless. You folks listening to this, you're restless. You're not happy. You went to the stadium, I think, just to boo. I mean, I kind of wrote that it was sort of 90s-ish in the veracity, if we'll go with that, of the booing. I mean, and I get it. Like, it was all the things that Bengals fans hate. Like, it's just bad. If offense goes, you know, they hate it when the offense goes to hell, and they hate Mike Nugent. And then Tater's out there running around giving ear to Tater.
Yeah, right. Doing Tater things.
Doing Tater things, rubbing it in their face. And so they just booed. And, it's where this team's at right now. And we got 6 more of these babies left.
Yeah. Wow, they take an L in Baltimore and really truly ends the season. That first December game against Philly is going to be back here again. Not good.
Not good. No, I mean, if we want to, where do we want to go with this? Let's talk a little bit about the offense and where they need to go.
Yeah. Ken Zampezi, it's been a learning process for a first-year coordinator to begin with. And now you have, you know, your top two producers. I mean, almost, you know, like I said, 43% of the offense. This is let's throw these numbers into light here for the fans who may know this just by watching, but here's the raw numbers. So AJ, Gio accounted for 196 touches. The next best or next most is Jeremy Hill, 144, but only 9 catches. Right. Real quick, name me the next 3 offensive players that have the most touches after Jeremy Hill.
After
Jay Hill. So Jay Hill's 144. So as of right now, He is the guy on the offense in terms of total touches, 144. 3 guys are tied for second.
Well, I would AJ, Gio, and
well, take out Gio and AJ.
Them out.
So Jeremy Hill's number one.
Yep.
144. Three guys tied for second.
It's got to be, what, LaFell and Boyd and...
Yeah, exactly. Andy Dalton's 34 rushes.
Oh, his rushes count. Okay,
yeah. Because, you know, QB, counting as like an offensive skill player.
Right, yeah.
And that's touches. So that counts a couple runs for LaFell and Boyd. 34.
Right.
34. So, I mean.
Well, I mean, but look.
That's a lot. Put it this way. That's a lot. They're going to say, hey, you got to rally. You got to do these things, Paul. These guys haven't really been involved. Like, look. 34 touches through 10 games.
Yeah. It's next to nothing. I mean, listen, it's the offense has been AJ centric. We've run those numbers to you guys here and in the paper and online and everything over and over and over again. When the Bengals have been competitive, it's been when AJ has gone buck wild. And when he hasn't gone buck wild, they've lost.
Yeah.
And it's kind of been that simple, and now they're going to have to find a different way to run the offense. And maybe part of that is good if you start distributing a little more, but, you know, I just don't know how much those other guys are able to really get it done.
Right. And we talked about this early in the year, and I know we talked about it last year when some of Jeremy Hill struggles, where, you know, maybe the first thought is, well, pound the rock. Line them up. Power running game, two tight ends, Ryan Hewitt, all that stuff. But when was the last time they did that? Jeremy Hill's rookie year? Back in week 9, week 10? That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
This O-line does not look the same.
Yeah.
Could you?
And we don't know if Ryan Hewitt's conditioned enough to play 20 snaps since he only plays 10 a game.
Right.
So, you know, I'm joking about that, but it's like I don't see Ken Zampezi going that route.
No, just real quick, since he was on staff, Paul, so Andy AJ's missed 5 games in his career. Pretty good. Mm-hmm. Like 5 full games. I know he's been knocked out. 1-3-1, including playoffs. Not good. Jay Gruden and Hugh had Andy drop back, throw it average 38 times a game without AJ Green.
Right.
So I don't see, and Ken's of that mold.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, remember Jerome Simpson and catching 13 passes and most of the new catch. I mean, you're going to see it. Tyler Boyd, Brandon LaFell, James Wright.
Cody Core.
Yeah,
I mean this is what you're gonna be looking at here. So yeah, you know it's not gonna be great. Let's bring in Tyler Eifert, who you're part of a group talking to him on Monday about, because I mean he's the number one guy now.
Yeah,
I mean he's the one legit weapon that they have, and he got a taste of what that looks like.
Yeah.
On Sunday, I mean, he only ended up with 3 receptions on about 6 targets and said, you know, there was a whole lot of people paying attention to him because they weren't really scared of anybody else.
Right.
So here's a good amount of the conversation. Tyler Eifert sort of talking about where he's at with the future of this offense.
For you guys as a group, what is – I mean, they're about 44% of the offense, Gio and AJ. But there's some other skill guys here. Do you see some diversity, maybe a little bit here with how many tight ends you have, and then obviously the younger guys that you'll be able to, Ken will be able to move some pieces around here to kind of.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really replace a guy like AJ, so we're gonna have to find a way to make up for his production. And like I said, not just the guys that are going to be playing more now because him and Gio are down, but the guys that are still on there, the O-line, Andy, all of us, we just got to, everybody's got to raise their game and to make up for that.
You have to refresh my memory for your time in Notre Dame. I mean, when was the last time that, I mean, Baltimore's going to put your number up and say Tyler's the guy they're going to look to first and stop him? When was the last time you maybe felt you were going to be that sort of centerpiece, number one type of guy that you're game, you know, not that other teams didn't game plan for you.
No, I mean, probably it goes back to college, I'd say. Yeah.
What can you do in that? I understand that they play defense, you run a route, but is there a mental part of that, or is it just...
No, I mean, there's nothing more to it. I mean, they play their coverage, we call the plays, and then try to execute them, so... Control what you control, and that's running your play as best you can.
Did you notice yesterday that basically when AJ went down, he became AJ. They had a safety trailing him. It was basically double team.
Yeah, a little bit.
Notice that a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah, and even AJ said something like, "It's not fun, is it?" So, but got to find a way to get open and make plays.
Were you surprised the rush screen got beat as much as they did? They haven't really shown that as much
yeah.
as they did yesterday.
I think anytime you're playing, you're actually just you're going to see some different stuff. And but yeah, it's. Yeah, that was tough, especially in the second half there. We had like two first downs or something leading into that last drive.
Did they pay, why was that? Was that basically because they just took away the... They just had eight guys out there and just didn't let you run by you? Didn't let them
run? We converted a lot on third downs in the first half, and then for whatever reason, we just didn't make the plays in the second.
What do you miss with Gio? Gio's kind of... an underrated guy in a sense. He's great at picking up blitz. Kid makes the tackle. What do you miss with a guy like that's not in there?
I mean, he just brings energy to the offense. You know, he can turn up no gain or should have been tackled three different times into a big play and or turn a loss into a no gain. I mean, he just those guys that so. Bring so much energy to the offense that you have to find a way to make up for that.
Okay, so there's Tyler Eifert, and you know, the bottom line is here's the killer for me, and this is the last three games that we said were the ones that were so important to this team finding their way, and they're 0-2-1 in them. The fourth quarter debacle that this offense has been in overtime. You know, I kind of ran down this on the post game video and had it in the fifth quarter analysis. If you read that, I mean, you just go down the list of all the drives they've had that have ended in the fourth quarter or overtime. So the crucial drives in games that have been decided by now a tie, 1 point, and 4 points, and it's 13 drives. And one score and multiple turnovers and an end of game. I mean, they aren't going anywhere.
No.
In the game's critical moments in this stretch of the season, the offense has absolutely abandoned them and fallen apart when they needed it most. When one drive.
Right.
One even a little drive that could set up a Nugent field goal. We'll get to that. Calm down. Even just one drive could make a difference. The difference in the game, they haven't been able to muster a single one. It's killer, and it is the reason they are where they are.
Yeah, and the thing, Paul, and this goes back to we did a Facebook Live with Lindsey Patterson before the game, and someone asked us, is it coaching, is it the players? And I put it on the players, and I think Sunday, after the fact, showed that a little bit, and here's what I mean. Because I don't know all the exact drives and what happened, but on Sunday, you know, two possessions in the third quarter, one first down. That was after Jeremy Hill 20-yard run, looked to be going, right? Fumbled, botched center, quarterback exchange. Now you're 2nd and 10, no gain. Now you're 3rd and 10, punt. Next possession, 5-yard gain on first down, 2nd and 5, good. Clint Bowling whiffs on a block, -5 yards, 3rd and 10.
Yep.
It's hard to convert 3rd and 10. They had two shots at it in the quarter, and they missed. Going to the fourth quarter, similar things, you know, but most glaringly, and I hate to call out Clint, but he was called for a hold. When going in to potentially win the game late, instead of 1st and 10 at the Buffalo 45, it's 2nd and 12 or whatever it was at the Bengals 30.
Yep.
And then Eric Winston has a false start, run off 10 seconds, you lose another 5 yards.
Two calls killed them.
You know, so, look, Gio had a drop in the fourth quarter on a third and two,
short.
And, you know, I know people can say what they want maybe about Ken not throwing as much in the fourth quarter there. But, look, it was a good play call. Gio catches the ball like he usually does. He's got about a 10-yard gain in the first down around midfield. So, you know, You're right, Paul, but it's part of that. Like, it's like all of these things that each one of these guys have said all year long. Well, it's just one guy that kind of messes it up all along the line.
And everybody we just mentioned, outside of Eric Winston, I guess, are guys that have been around and been part of winning. I mean, it's not like, I mean, these are not new guys. It's honestly mind-boggling. And so here's the other side of it. And you know what? Before I go to the other side of it, I'll get to the other side of it on the other side of this quote. I just want to bring you Jeremy Hill after the game, talking about this whole fourth quarter phenomenon and just sort of the disbelief from guys that have been here about what they're seeing. So here's Jeremy Hill.
That second half was just a matter of trying to get a rhythm. Was hard, I guess. What do? You know, it's one of those things where it just can't get that first play going type of thing.
Yeah, the second half was just pathetic. I don't know. It was hard to watch. Hard to be a part of. It was just bad all in all. We can't win football games like that. You don't even give yourself a chance.
Hard to believe. I mean, we've seen you guys have so many great offensive outings here that a day could even really, like you said, hard to watch. I mean, that could even happen. I guess you can't really put a finger on why. Or
we just didn't execute, man. It was one thing or another. Penalties, turnovers, it's just one thing up there.
Obviously, things change quickly when AJ goes out early. Mm-hmm. I
think we played well in the first half with AJ out. We moved the ball. We didn't get touchdowns on some of the drives, but we did a good job moving the ball. But the second half, it was just hard.
You know, I mean, I don't think anybody can say it plainer or clearer than that.
No.
You know? I mean, hard to watch, hard to be a part of.
Yeah.
For a bunch of guys that look around and an offense that was just dominant and was looked to be really moving in the correct direction.
Right. You know, exactly. Sort of going into the very tail end of that Washington game.
Up until the fourth quarter and overtime of Washington, you're sitting there thinking, this offense might be able to carry this team.
Right.
They're getting it together. You know, Eifert's back. He's making plays. A.J. Green's dominant.
Right.
The running game's starting to show some life. They might have figured out how to lessen the Cedric Obwehi debacle. And then since then, it's been all downhill, essentially. And the defense got better. That is the baffling aspect of this team, isn't it? Is that it's been, at one point in time, early in the season, special teams were really bad.
Oh, yeah.
Really bad. They've gotten better. They started to have their moments. They've already had their moments. And then...
Yeah, Nuge was on a hot streak.
Nuge
was hot.
Nuge
but return game was bad.
Yeah, and Nuge hit it 13 straight under 50.
Right. Game winner, New York.
Game winner, New York. Hadn't missed a PAT. Everything was great. Yeah. You're feeling good. And then the defense was a complete dumpster fire. And now, the last two games, the defense looks a lot more like it did last year. They're making plays. Vontaze Burfict has raised his game immensely the last couple of weeks, even though he's busy flipping off fans or whatever. Which is because we can't just have a game where we don't talk about something dumb off the field with that guy.
Right.
Jesus. I mean, he plays his face off, and he ends up in these situations over and over again because all this other garbage. Get to that another time. We got to that in the BB2 last week.
Yeah.
I don't know. Y'all listen to the Deuce. Go back and listen to it, and you can hear that whole conversation. So then the defense is coming back. They're starting to do things, and the offense falls apart. And now they don't have A.J. Green and Giovanni Bernard.
Right.
And it just makes you and I've asked as many people as I can ask, and they're all baffled. No one understands why it isn't all meshing together right.
No. And that's why you're 3-6.
That's why you're 3-6-1.
You know, but here's a funny thing, and this transitions into everybody's other favorite topic, especially today. I mean, that's the thing, Paul. You make a PAT in London, you're 4-4, two games going into the bye. You know, winners of two straight going into the bye. Maybe you lose by a point in New York, maybe. I don't know. But you make your PATs on Sunday.
Lots of people are missing PATs.
And I get that. Look, there's 48.
They've had plenty of other opportunities than missed PATs. They haven't been able to capitalize on a single opportunity they've been given. And that's a sign that in this league, That's the difference between 3-6 and 1 and 6-3 and 1. It's a
it's
league where every game is close at the end.
It's a few points.
And it's whoever knows how to make those big plays at the end of games, and this team hasn't made a single one.
Nope.
And I don't know why that is, because they used to do that all the time. All right, let's talk about Nuge. Buckle up, fans. Okay, so here's the deal. I thought it was over for Nuge.
Yeah, I did too.
After the game. Just the missed two PATs. They had worked out kickers in the bye week. We've taken you guys all through this whole process. And the fact that Marvin Lewis was asked after the game and he did not give his very standard stamp of approval, he instead said, "I'm not ready to comment on it at this point." It made you know he's going in the tank on this one. I think, you know, he's going to make the move. Fine. I mean, you had to have figured when you talk about having already brought kickers in.
Right.
The salvo had already been sent of, we're not going to have you cost us another win. And it's pretty clear, went a long way to cost him another win. Even Mike admitted that. We've talked a lot about Mike standing up after games. He did that again on Sunday. So Monday, Marvin Lewis comes back after a night to think about it, says he gave it a lot of thought and kind of explained why he decided that he wanted to stick with Mike Nugent. I'm going to bring you Marv talking about sticking with Mike Nugent.
He said yesterday it was too soon to comment on Nugent's status after sleeping on it. Have you given any more thought?
Given a lot of thought. So we're going to, you know, move forward with Mike. And, you know, as I said last night, I think some other things kind of contributed. But in all, again, we expect Mike to make those kicks. And, you know, but there was, you know, particularly on one, we didn't have a perfect snap. We did a nice job by Kevin getting it down. But, you know, we got to, you know, looking at, you know, what the alternative action so forth is, you know, where we are and things. I think I, when I got to make that call, you know, I prefer to continue this way.
Is there anything you can do to help him, to see, need to see a specialist or anything, to look at technique? I know that sounds funny, but, you know, when you're going through, I guess, a missed streak, is there anything that he needs to do differently?
Well, I think he, you know, he can rectify what he needs to do, you know, likely, you know, quicker than any of us. And I think Darren is very capable of helping him make the correction through these. And, you know, his hits on the ball and so forth. So that I'm really confident in, that he and Darren together can work Mike through this.
How much of the thoughts that you put into that is about sort of, you know, I guess the devil you know versus the devil you don't, just knowing that you trust Mike and his way to work through it, whereas if you bring somebody else in, you don't necessarily know. Is that the biggest thing, is the unknown of what the other side would be?
Well, I think you always, you know, it's always a comparison, no question. And, you know, it's easy for everybody to say, well, we make that change. And then, as you said, when that change doesn't work out, then what do you do? And, you know, so we're more comfortable. I think I'm way more comfortable with helping Mike get corrected and through this. And I think that, you know, him, you know, having the confidence that we expect from him, and you know, really having him, and you know, we just got to give him more opportunities. You know, we get an opportunity before halftime. We're probably not having the same conversation right now. You know, and at the end of the game, you know, then it's a different football game. Either way, all those things play into it, but it is where we are. And you know, to answer your question, this is where we're going to be today.
So, what do you – I'll let you start. What do you make of the decision?
What I make of that decision is kind of the question you asked there, Paul. I think what – thinking long and hard about it was, hey, who's available? Print out the stat sheet and seeing career field goal percentages, career PAT percentages, and being like, you know what? We probably – if we don't have the best guy available – he's as good as what's available, and I know it's splitting hairs, but honestly, Paul, I think they really looked at it. I mean, look, Mike Zimmer cut his guy, signed a guy that the Bengals tried out, Kai Forbath. He had a PAT blocked. He made a kick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, that's, you know. I mean, when you.
Yeah. You're talking about looking at the stats of other guys. And, you know, it's close if you're really.
It's close. Yeah, it's close.
It's close. I mean, you look, Blair Walsh, Randy Bullock. I mean, if that does anything for you, I mean, Randy Bullock was about last. I just was looking at the last 2 years when the PATs have been what they were and recent track record on these guys. You know, Nuge, with his misses this year over 50, he's been about almost 80%. It's not a good number.
No.
He's been almost 80% on field goals. He's been about 94% on PATs. The guys, all the ones you're looking at, have been like around 85 to 80% on PATs,
right,
and around low 80s in field goals. What do you want?
Making change for the sake of change, and I think Marv addressed
that. And there's something to that.
Yeah,
I think there's something to saying we're trying here, and we're not just going to sit here and let the same thing happen over and over again.
Right.
That said, Marvin Lewis has to look at himself in what would be a future situation and say, when would he be more comfortable? If he was trotting out Mike Nugent again, knowing he's been struggling, but he's gone through a week of trying to work it out with Darren Simmons and guy that he's as tight with as anybody and all that stuff, or Randy Bullock, or Blair Walsh has one of the most famous misses.
Yeah.
If it's ever mental, that guy's got the mental block.
Yeah.
Missed like 9 PATs in the last 2 years, and he missed the 21-yard chippy that would have sent him to the next round of the playoffs. How'd you like, let's say a miracle happens and this team does make the playoffs, how'd you like to be trotting Blair Walsh out there?
Right.
I mean, you think you're nervous with Nuge.
Yeah, and that's the thing, Paul. I think people, it's hard for fans, I think, sometimes to grasp. But it's like coaches. Honest to God, coach, yes, they have a sense of reality. They know, you know, when guys are hurt and depending who's hurt. But look, I guarantee you that Marvin Lewis thinks right now they're going to win out, and if they had to trot out a kicker to hit a 45-yarder at Paul Brown Stadium on January 1st to beat the Ravens, he trusts Mike Nugent to make that kick as opposed to some dude he's never met or would finally meet for the first time on Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds crazy to people, but that's how they think in a lot of ways. And I think that's what he said to you when you asked that question.
Yeah. It's 100% the devil you know versus the devil you don't. And the fact that I think he's as close, clearly as close as he's ever been to saying, you know what, maybe the other devil ain't so devilish.
Right.
Because this one stings pretty bad.
I think this is the end of the line. I mean, Mike's a free agent.
Yeah, this is it.
So this is it. You know, that change is going to happen.
Is it whether it's a free agent that's going to be out there or a draft pick? I mean, they're going to have a lot of draft picks next year.
You mock drafting us?
Shut up. Don't go mock draft on me.
Had to do it.
Jim's just been poking me, folks. And I know this is going to go on for the next 6 weeks about everybody wanting to hear mock draft picks. And all. We're not going to the draft yet, okay? The good news is, guess what? When the season ends, still got 4 months to talk about the draft.
Yep.
So I'm not doing it now when we're in season. There's other stuff going on. Why you do this?
For that exact reason.
I'm so mad. It's hard enough having to do mock drafts in April, much less talking about mock drafts right now when the damn season's happening. Get me all fired up over here. Get me all fired up over here. But anyway. Whatever it is, I agree with you. They're not going to go through another season of this. Even if he ends up going through this year and he never misses another kick the rest of this year,
right?
I think we've seen what we're going to see from this team and Mike Nugent. But they're okay to go with him for the rest of the year, at least for I mean, if he has another game like this, maybe then they will pull the trigger again. I mean, I don't think there was no saying that he's our guy the rest of the
right,
year.
No, right? Yeah, that's exactly. It was go forward with Mike.
We'll go forward with Mike. He's got to start making these kicks.
Yeah.
So that's where the Nugent situation is at.
I guess if you want a silver lining, 16 points allowed, 21 points allowed. Defense kind of.
I think the defense is
bend but don't break.
Yeah, clearly
type
come
thing.
Back.
Yeah,
I think the defense has clearly come back and seem to be finding themselves.
They've got to be so good, Paul. They've got to be, you know, if this team's going to do anything. This goes back to the start of this season. Oh, my God. It's like, oh, this defense is going to have to carry the team. Now, the only thing I can say to that is, unlike the first 7 weeks, 8 weeks, you're seeing the ball on the ground. You're seeing the ball in the air. Now, granted, only Drake or Patrick's been able to come up with it the last 2 weeks. You know, but you're seeing now Tyrod Taylor, Eli Manning, some of these receivers, especially for Buffalo. Ugh. You know, take it with a grain of salt, but it's not like they're playing murderer's row here. We've been saying that all year.
Mm-hmm.
So if there is a silver lining, as you mentioned, Vontaze Burfict, you know, they're getting the ball out, which they didn't do at all the first half of the season.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're exactly right. All right. I do want to, while we have a chance, make sure we recognize our folks at Mack Weldon. Have you gotten your hoodie yet?
It is en route.
Hoodie en route?
Yes, I did go hoodie.
Yeah.
You know why? High quality material. Breathable.
Non-smelly.
Non-smelly. That's big for me.
You want to be non-smelly?
Yes.
Don't be smelly. Mack Weldon. Make sure you go to MackWeldon.com. That's where you can get all the most comfortable underwear, socks, shirts, undershirts, maybe one of Jim's hoodies, some sweatpants. I'm a sweatpants guy myself. They're comfortable. And, of course, they'll take care of you, Mack Weldon. If you don't like it, guess what? They'll refund you. No questions asked. They're here to help. It's big.
Yeah, no, Paul, it's, you know, got to use the promo code BEAT, as in Bengals Beat Podcast.
B-E-A-T.
B-A-T. B-E-A-T. You know why? Because we hook you up.
We hook you up.
Save dollars.
Dollars.
It's like 20%.
Cash.
Yeah, it's big.
Straight cash, homie. 20% off using B-E-A-T. So go to MackWeldon.com. Get 20% off using promo code BEAT. Just for being fans of the BBP.
Yeah.
That's what we do for you. Hoodies. You know what? Be at a party. You know what you say to your friends? BBP gives me the best underwear.
I was going to say, look at my underwear.
Look at my underwear. Thanks to this podcast I listen to. It's great. It could be worse, Jim. We could be saying worse things. So
yeah.
All right.
I only wear a belt at work, so when I'm at a party.
Underwear shows. Yeah. And you're proud of it. All right. Well, MackWeldon.com, you should check that out. All right. Let's move on. Oh, man. Dormy Jaggies. Jaggy went dormy finally. So they literally have to win their last six games for me to win that bet. It's all over.
Yeah.
It's all over. They suck.
Blake Bortles is doing amazing things, but not the amazing things you need him to be doing.
No. Two straight weeks in a row, he's thrown an interception off a receiver's foot.
It's like unbelievable.
He is so god awful. That is what went wrong with me on this bet. I did not really realize that Blake Bortles, I thought he was going to be good. It looked like he was maybe trending in the right direction last year. I did not realize he was going to turn into a complete coach and precinct bet killer. Right now, it's all come down to wondering if Shad Khan is going to pull the trigger and fire Gus Bradley, or is it possible Chip Kelly goes loony bin and just walks in San Francisco? That's my only hope, is Chip Kelly getting fired, and that's the only way I can win the desserts. Yeah.
Which, you know what?
Not impossible.
What if Texas comes calling? Hey, Chip.
Texas. Come on, Texas. Drop the big money. Texas got that big check. Texas needs to step the hell up, write that big check, and have Chip Kelly go Petrino style, just disappear in the night and leave a note in players' lockers.
Yep.
Yes. Come on,
Texas. I'm here to give you hope, man.
It's my only hope. All right. Why are you mad this week, Jim? Are you mad about anything?
I'm mad all the time.
You should be happy. It was a good fun weekend.
It was.
You know, we had a home game. We had a get-together at the house on Friday at the big dip-off party.
Yeah. Well, see, now this is a bad transition to why I'm mad, because people are going to think you were weak with your party, but that's
my party
not the
was,
case.
I thought the party, was,
party
strong.
Was strong. But see, here's why I'm mad. You know what I'm mad about?
Why are you mad?
Non-dairy coffee creamer. Nothing says, hey, I like the feel of a gas station coffee.
Right.
I like the feel of the auto repair store coffee. the non-dairy creamer.
Right.
And you did not. That's the thing. That said, that was a terrible transition because now all these people think you had non-dairy creamer at your party. That's not true.
I didn't.
That's not true. I'm just saying, in general.
I actually didn't have any creamer. I threw it out accidentally in the afternoon.
You know what? No creamer is better than non-dairy creamer.
Yeah. Okay.
That stuff makes me so mad.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, you go into like, you know, you get your tires done or your brakes done and you kind of expect it. It's like, okay, I'll drink the black. But.
You got to have some quality creamer.
Yeah.
See, I'm not a creamer guy, so this is all kind of new thing to me. I've never really dealt in the creamer world.
So
I've never
gross.
Dabbled over there. I'm a one sweet and low guy into a black coffee.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's like a little touch of sweetener.
Yeah.
Like a half packet. You know? You know what gets me? When they don't have sweet and low or Splenda. Like you gotta have one of those two.
Yeah.
If you're a place and you have a caddy, you know?
Yeah.
And you've got three colors, one of them has to be yellow or pink.
You're not rolling with the rock sugar?
No, I'm not rolling with rock sugar. Equal. Come on, it's different. And I don't understand. There's two main brands. Have one of them.
Yeah, I don't know what is your sugar mock draft? Who would you take first?
Sweet and low first. I'm just going to answer your question realistically. I'm not even going to take the bait on that one. Sweet and low is my number one overall draft pick. Splenda. I had a decision over Splenda, but I went second with it. I'm okay with that. Equal's not even. Equal's like an undrafted free agent.
Yeah.
I don't even want to see Equal. Rock sugar, get out of here. Raw sugar. None of that. I don't like any. It's all disappointing at that point. I don't want to draft any. I'm not wasting a draft pick. I'll trade it like the Browns. All right. Let's catch up on everything we've got going on here. BTS, Tuesday night, Hofbrauhaus, 7 o'clock. Brandon LaFell, Bengals' new number one receiver, Brandon LaFell, is our guest. On Tuesday night, so come out there, meet him, get your autograph, talk about LSU, which we could have said, like, I think for the last 5 weeks or something.
Yeah.
We've had so many LSU guys in a row. James Wright's going to have to come up in the near future, I guess. So come down to that show. Should be a fun show, our Thanksgiving show, always a good one. And then the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, George Iloka is going to be our guest. We've had him on many times before. Always a funny guest. We love having George on. We're going to have a lot of fun that day. So come down, 7 o'clock, Hofbrauhaus every Tuesday. Brandon LaFell this Tuesday, George Iloka next Tuesday. Come down there. All our normal coverage is going to be coming at you this weekend, despite Thanksgiving. Bengals off on Thursday,
yes.
So we'll be dark on Thursday. We'll still have stuff for you in your early editions with all your ads and while you're plotting your Black Friday attack.
Yeah.
And then we'll be in Baltimore this weekend bringing you all the coverage. Make sure you check that out. Anything else going on?
No.
No,
you know, it's a road trip.
Another road trip.
Yeah, but you know what, though?
I like
honestly,
Baltimore's...
the AFC North road trips are okay for me.
Yeah. Baltimore's not a bad trip. I love going to – we go to Moe's and eat all the seafood, get the crabs.
Yeah.
And you get the good quality crab stuff. So I'm good. I'm good with Baltimore.
Yeah.
Baltimore's a safe trip. It's pretty easy to get around in.
You know what the ironic thing is about Baltimore?
It's not safe?
No. That I actually don't mind going into a place called Pickles.
Oh, Pickles.
And we know how I feel about actual Pickles.
That's true. That's because Pickles doesn't prominently feature Pickles.
Yeah.
Which is good.
So it's kind of a funny thing.
It is kind of a funny thing. Pickles. The late night bar right by the hotel where the team normally stays at, which I guess if you're going to Baltimore now you know where to find us on Saturday night. We'll probably end up at Pickles, so come on by and say give us a BBP shout out. Outside of that, let's get out of here. What are we gonna do for song? I think for song wise, you know,
people
what
were mad at me last week for saying Elton John.
I know people
song,
were really pissed off.
But
about
guess
the
what?
Elton John
I was
thing.
Right.
You were right.
I set the tone. Early.
It was very set. You know what? I got it. We've used this before. It's been a couple years, I think, since we've used this. But I think it's fitting considering the way that Sunday went down and sort of the big picture of what it all meant. REM, everybody hurts. I mean, honestly, I think everyone on the team hurts in pain or some sort of serious. And the fans clearly hurt. There's just a lot of hurt.
Yeah,
there's a lot of pain going around, and we're here documenting that. All right, so we I guess our string of sad songs continues.
Yeah.
So get out the tissues as we take you out of here. Sorry to be such a bummer. And I'm sorry, Carl Weathers. I really didn't know you were still alive. I really feel bad about that. Anyway, all right. So we'll talk to you later. Have a good one.
When your day is long. Just yours alone. When you're sure you've had enough of this life, well, hang on. Don't let yourself go. Sometimes everything is wrong.